Last week was such a clear message of, we should not let the Canaanites live among us. The message was very clear. The people of Ephraim had every gift, every blessing, every tool that they could use. They lived in peace and in a place called Shiloh, which is a place of rest. They were giving might and they were giving promises, and they had every single tool to drive out their enemies. And they chose not to. And avoiding the fight means mainly, and the most important part is that they're disobeying God. God's voice was very clear. In Exodus 23:23, we said, as soon as you get into this land, you drive out everyone that's in it. And the same message is for all of us. Again, this is not us going to a history lesson. This is not us talking about, people in the past. This is us talking about, this is God talking to us about our own life, because he blessed us with every possible gift that we need. He blessed us and he gave us every tool and every ability that we need. We have a father who is loving. We have a savior who is able, and we have the Holy Spirit that guides us and that teaches us and takes us from one place to another. So there is no reason why we should be lazy and not take on the fights. The fights are not going to end. As soon as we get rid of something, we get rid of lust, we find greed. We get rid of greed, we find envy. We get rid of envy, we find or whatever it is, pride, whatever it is, the fight is going to keep going. But the more we cleanse, the more God has territory in us. This is not about us taking on, physical territories, but this is God taking more territories of us. And the more God takes control over our lives, the more we enjoy the life with God. We experience the abundant life that he has for us. Did you ever feel like Jesus lived a life of need, or a life of, oh, I feel so sorry or feel bad for myself? Absolutely not. 40 days, 40 nights, and the enemy came to trick him, and he was like, no, I don't need that bread. I fast for 5 hours and I'm like, where is everything? I want to eat everything, But he lived such a content, controlled life. And that's because, there is all God in him. There is all God. The more we give space in our hearts to God, the more he takes control. So they avoided the fight. They disobeyed God. They avoided discipline. They avoided or they missed out on the discipline. They missed out on the reliance that you have on God when you're going through war. And they had to deal with the consequences. When you have the Canaanites living with you, you have to deal with the consequences. Today we're gonna go into chapter 17, and we're gonna talk about a couple of things really quick. And there are two groups of people that came to Joshua with two requests, similar requests, but in a different approach. Okay, we're gonna read from verse 3, and again, forgive me for torturing these names. I'm not good at reading names, not even in Arabic. So this is now names in English, but you know what? I don't care about how I pronounce the names. I care about what God is going to deliver to us today. Okay? So that's no longer going to stop us. So verse 3, it says, but Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. These are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Melka, and Tirzah. They approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." Okay, the story. Okay, so now you probably didn't understand anything I said because of these names, but the story is very simple. there were these five sisters. Their father's name is Zelophehad. Okay. Zelophehad did not have any sons. Okay. So their daughters now are in the promised land. They crossed the Jordan. They saw the walls come down. They witnessed the war. They saw everything from A to Z. There, and now Joshua, as we've been studying for the last couple of chapters, Joshua is dividing the land, right? He's giving some to the people of Judah. He's giving some to the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Ephraim. He is dividing the land. So they come to him and say, time out. Our father didn't have any sons, but that doesn't mean we don't have inheritance. We were promised by Moses that we would have inheritance. If you want to read that promise, let's go back to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 27. And I'm going to read it again. So please bear with me again. Verse chapter, the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 1, it says, the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Melka, and Tirzah. They came forward. Now we're reading in Numbers, not in Joshua, okay? And they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting and said, our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no sons? Give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. So they brought their case originally to Moses and to the high priest and to the people, and Moses went, said, okay, let me pray about it. Let me consult the Lord. And the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. I love that those two words. You must certainly give them property. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no sons, give his inheritance to his daughters. We see that those five brave women changed everything. They came before the high priest. They came before whoever was leading the people, and they came before all the assembly and the elders. They were not ashamed to come before whoever it is. You know, there is something that for me right there, I need to learn from them. They came, they knew who is in charge, and they came pleading for their case. You know, I pray that us, every single one of us on this call, and for our families, we know how to come to our high priest, except that we have a high priest who knows exactly how we feel. He knows exactly what we're concerned about. He's not like the other high priest who can go in once a year into the Holy of Holiness, but our high priest is sitting right now at the throne, you know, and we can come to him. We don't have Moses or Joshua, but we have our Savior Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us right now, who saved us, who loved us, who came to this earth to live exactly how you lived and how I lived, so he knows exactly how we feel. And we do have the Holy Spirit as well. And we have our brothers and sisters that can help us in this journey. They came before the high priest. They came before Moses. They came before Joshua. They came before the elders. They came at the tent before the entrance of the promised land and in the promised land, wherever it was, whatever, who, to whoever it was, they came pleading their case. They stated facts. Their father died and died in his sins. Their father didn't have any sons. And in that culture, the only way that your name can be carried to the next generation is if you have a son. Okay? They know the facts. They stated the facts, but the facts to them didn't seem right. They're about to change the world right now. And when I say the world, I mean their world. They're about to change everything. They're about to change the game. See, we are missing these voices that change the world, that change realities, that change things that have been practiced and assumed, and traditions and things that we have been going on, that have been going on, and we've been doing for hundreds and thousands of years without even asking. We need these voices that will bring God to say, no, we need to change this. So they came, they stated the facts, but they also asked for an exception to the rule. Based on what? Based on grace. Based on grace. That was their biggest thing. They are based on grace. They wanted to inherit. They wanted a new rule. They wanted their father's name to live among his brothers and his relatives. In Numbers 27, Moses said, I'll ask the Lord. And the Lord was so quick to respond. The second we come based on grace, the second we come pleading for something according to God's heart, there is no waiting. There is no waiting. God is so quick to answer. God is so quick to respond. Moses had no hesitance to ask God, and God has no had no he he hesitance to answer Moses. And Joshua, they also came respectfully and humbly. They came respectfully and humbly, asking for God's inheritance, and they wanted their father's name to live among their brothers. They wanted that piece of land. They knew that this whole idea of the promised land is based on what? Based on grace. Did the Israelites deserve the promised land? Do you and I deserve this promised land? Absolutely not. So they're like, if the whole idea is grace, then we want grace as well. We want more grace, not only to enter into the promised land, but to take something in the promised land, to have an exception to the rule, to the promised land. And their exception to the rule became the new reality. I pray, again, this is not a history lesson. This is a challenge for all of us. This is God opening your eyes and my eyes that He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or imagine.
Amen.
As the verse in Isaiah that says that He has done wonderful things. Things we could not dream of or imagine. That's what God does, and that's what God can give to us. These wonderful five daughters came in with boldness in their request. They came to ask for something that was never done in the past. And they crossed the Jordan. They did the whole thing. They saw the walls coming down. They witnessed the wars. They saw the whole thing. And they saw how wonderful and how great God is. You and I are in the same place today. You and I are in the same place today. We have so many things and so many rules that are tying us down. So many things that we keep speaking on our lives, so many things that we keep saying to ourselves that this cannot be broken. This curse cannot be broken. This stronghold cannot be broken. This tradition cannot be broken. This family history cannot be broken. This thing, everyone does it. Well, guess what? You and I being here in the presence of God should not even have happened. You and I should not have been here. We have sinned enough not to be here today. One, matter of fact, one sin was enough to separate us from God forever. But God made an exception by dying on the cross and giving us his grace and making that switch, giving us his life and taking our sins. So you and I being in this moment right now, breathing, being in the presence of God, entering into his holy place, this is already an exception. So if God has already given you that exception, why don't you ask for more? If God has already brought you in, brought you into the promised land, took you out of Egypt, took you out of your slavery, took you out of your addiction, took you out of what you used to do every Wednesday night, and now you're here with your brothers and sisters worshiping God and listening to his word, why can't you ask for more? Why can't you ask that Wednesday night will be Thursday night, will be Friday night, will be Tuesday morning, will be Monday morning, will be Saturday night as well? Why don't you ask for something more? You and I are in the same place, and we are in a desperate, desperate need for some rules that we put on ourselves and the world put on us to be broken. They came in boldly and humbly at the same time, asking for a miracle. We should approach God leaning on his grace. Like, Lord, you died on the cross for me. You gave your only son for me. And you said, it is finished. You finished all the work on the cross. And I'm the recipient of this grace today. We should approach God with that same exact boldness. The same God who changed the ability of a man to walk on water. This is against nature. This is against nature. I can't even swim in water. I sink, you know. Not, you know, seriously, I sink. Can you imagine trying to walk? This is the same God who changed the nature's rules because his power overrode, that's a word, right? Overrode the nature's power, where Peter was able to walk on water, or Jesus was able to walk on water. That same God. That same exact God can help us today take spiritual inheritance that we have not possessed yet. The same exact God who rose someone from the dead when she was at home, who rose another young man when he was on his way to the grave, and who rose another one who was in the grave for days to the point that he was rotten, and he was able to speak a word and make all these dead people rise. The same God who defied the rules of biology that said all the systems are shut down, that says the skin is gone, everything is gone. The same God who made an exception to those rules, the rules of biology that you and I are very familiar with or not familiar with, can make an exception to the rule today and give you the inheritance and give me the inheritance. The same exact God, the same exact God who defied the every economic equation that we can think of by leading millions of people through the wilderness with absolutely nothing, and he was able to sustain them for 4 years. The same God who came to a meeting with maybe 20,000 people, and all they had were some saltine crackers and couple of, you know, couple of fish. The same God, if you bring the greatest economist in the whole world and you say, I have a sandwich and I have 20,000 people and they're hungry, they've been here for a few days. Can you make that equation work? The greatest economist of the world will tell you this is madness. But God made an exception to that rule and was able to intervene and was able to do something that was never seen before. I'm telling you this, these are stories that you've heard millions of times or maybe thousands of times. I'm telling you this because I know you have rules on your life and I have rules on my life. Those daughters did not care what rules did the world put on them. They said, we are children. We are favored, we are loved, we are inherited, and we will inherit what God has for us. I'm getting excited. This seems like a Sunday morning, not a Wednesday night. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. When I read how brave they are, I love breaking rules. I do. Especially when those rules are put on my life by the enemy. I share this story all the time that I was told most of my life when I was young that I will not live to see my 20s. I was told that many times. If I tell you I was told that sometimes daily, you might not believe me, but it's true. And God came and broke those rules. God came and broke everything that was spoken over my life. God came and broke every plan that the enemy had over my life and broke them strongly. Here I am, 43, looking like an 18-year-old. I see some disagreements. I see some sarcastic laughs, but okay. So I see God breaking rules in my life. And I see God can do the same exact thing in your life, in my life. What we learned from these daughters is to go and ask for what you and others haven't asked for before. There is something that you haven't asked for before. There is something that you haven't dared to ask for before. There is something that keeps telling you, don't ask for this. Don't ask for this. It will never be given. It was never given. This is not for you. This is impossible. Well, that's great, because that's exactly what you need to ask for.
Right.
That's exactly what you need to ask for. Because if the enemy is doing everything he can to stop you from that inheritance, that means this is actually yours. And the enemy is trying to put every lie in the book, in your mind and in your heart, not to take what God has for you. And guess what? God said it was very clear that he blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. He did. So whatever it is that you want to ask for today, you can have it. If you have a family tree of addiction and you want to break that, yes, you can. If you have a family tree of, or a family history of, lust or anger or pride or whatever it is, and you need to break that today, you can. Because you can ask for your inheritance today.
Amen.
You can ask for self-control. You can ask for holiness. You can ask for humility. You can ask for courage. You can ask for whatever heavenly gift your Father has for you today. Because after all, it's all inside the grace circle.
Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in times of need." These women had to approach with a lot of faith. They were coming up against a really significant cultural norm, right? The cultural norm here was that they are women, and without a man being a part of their family line, a brother being a part of their family line, they essentially lose everything. They don't get anything because of it. And if you think this is sort of like silly or unusual way of thinking, it honestly, and until this day in the Middle East and many parts of the Middle East, even though it's really more of an Islamic law, but as a woman, you only receive half of an inheritance that a man does. A man, if you have a boy and a girl that are siblings, parents pass away, the boy gets what they call two parts of an inheritance, and the girl only receives one or half of an inheritance. This is truly a cultural norm that's been for since forever ago. And these women came up and said, "Hey, pretty sure that's not how God has it. Pretty sure that we are to receive and be a part of the inheritance, that we're to be a part of the promised land, that we're to be that God has something for us just as he has something for everybody else. I mean, it really was quite a grand statement. But it's funny because in Numbers, the Lord didn't hesitate about it. When Moses asked him and approached him about it, he said, "Most certainly." It's an exclamation mark. Of course they should. What's taking you so long to ask? You know, our God's ways are not our ways often, and God's ways are often not our society's ways or our culture's ways. And it's really important that we take the time to look at those things and put them up against the Word of God. You know, if there's something about our family life or my personal life or our cultural life that's maybe seems like a normal thing, but maybe creates some injustice for some folks, it's important for us to go to God's word and say, "Hey, what does God's word say about this? Lord, what do you say about this?" These women were approaching the throne for a promise that they knew was theirs as well. And that's the more spiritual side of this, is that our part as believers, as Assam's been saying today, a huge part of our walk with the Lord is being able to approach the Lord and being able to say, "God, here is my plea to you. Here is what I see. Lord, would you come and meet me?" What faith that required from these women, probably with a bunch of guys looking at them, right? I mean, I don't even think, like, it wasn't even just that she was going to Joshua and the leadership, and it was all these other people. The peace that they were going to get was ultimately going to be a peace that someone else didn't get, that someone else was banking on. And so it's so important that we approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that God has promises for us, even when it appears that he doesn't.
You know, their father died in the wilderness with the generation, with the old generation that died in the wilderness. That generation was sinned in so many ways, did so many ways, it's so many things. Maybe he was not part of the people of Korah or any of that, but he was still part of that generation that didn't believe, that kept wandering in the desert. And that did not stop them from asking for their inheritance, because God gave that new generation something new, everyone that came into the promised land, and they were like, what's the difference? And you and I need to pay attention to this, because a lot of times we focus on the past and we hold on to the past and let the past stop us from what God is promising for the now and the future. You know, we focus on our previous sins, we focus on our previous life. We focus on what people are going to say. We focus on so many things, you know, and not allow God to do what he can do. The meanings of those women, if you want to write them down, because their names are actually so beautiful. Mahla means forgiven. I mean, just starting with that, forgiven. You know, if you want to start something new, if you want that new rule, here is the first thing you need to know. You are forgiven. Okay? You are forgiven. All of your debt has been paid on the cross. There is absolutely nothing that Jesus did not take care of on the cross. Noah means movement. It is time for a movement. Okay? Stillness right now, being in the same place that you were before, is not going to help. It's time to get up. Can you imagine? I know I share this all the time. Can you imagine Jesus shouting, "Lazarus, come out." Life is beginning to come inside Lazarus. Life and breathing and muscles and flesh and everything. All right, Lord, I hear you. But you know what? I'm going to stay in the grave. There has to be a movement in our life. Melika means queen. And this is when you realize that you are part of that what generation or what nation? You're part of that royal generation. You're part of that royal nation. You need to start thinking that you are the daughter of God. You are the son and the child of God. Terza means pleasing, pleasing. And what I want in my life is to whatever it is that I do is to be pleasing to the Lord. And finally, Hogla means dancing. You look at where they were, you look at their current situation, where they were, okay? What their father did, the death in the family, left alone, and here they are across the Jordan in the promised land, asking for their inheritance. There is something here. There is something here to encourage you and encourage me. They lost their father in the wilderness. They grew orphanage or as orphans, but here they are across in the promised land, watching all these miracles unfold before them. Not only that, they're asking for their inheritance. I thought we were going to finish the whole chapter today, and Dina was like, "Oh no, we're going to only do the first part." I was like, "No, we got the whole thing. We're going to do the whole chapter today." And she was like, "We're not. We're going to only finish this." But anyway, we're prepared for next week. This part is touched a sensitive spot. I know it touched something in us. Maybe because for me personally, how and where I was raised and how much you hear that you're not worthy of anything. You're not even a second or third class citizen. You're not even a citizen. You don't even count. The things you hear, the things that the world tells you, and then you come into the freedom of being the child of God, and you see what God has for you. And you see all these wonderful things that God had in plans for you, and you feel exactly how they're feeling. You feel forgiven. You feel that you can move. You feel there is a move in your life. You feel like you are the child of God. You feel like your God is always looking at you and pleased, not because of what you're doing, but because what is covering you, because you are clothed in Christ, and that brings so much joy and dancing to your life. Those wonderful young women came to Joshua, breaking every rule, breaking everything, and deciding to just lean on God's grace. We're already in the circle of grace. I don't know, I can't say that enough. We're already in the circle of grace. Can you imagine if you are heated, like you're so hot, you're thirsty, and someone brings you gallons and gallons of nice cold, refreshing water, and all you do is you just take one little sip, one little drop. Why? You are already in the presence of a refreshing water, and they're given to you. So take as much as you can, take as much as you want. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go after as much as He can give us, and there's so much more. So this is the story for today. Again, I hope this is not going to be a history lesson, but I hope that every single one of us, starting with me, will go and plead for what God has for us.
No.
Because I know we haven't even touched the surface. I know for a fact that God has a lot more for every single one of us here. When you speak to the 17-year-old that was, poor family, not much going on in her life, and you tell her, "Hey, what are you doing? Can you be the mother of the Messiah? Can you be the mother of the Savior?" That is probably something she's never, ever heard in her life, that you are gonna be great, that 2,000 years from now, people are gonna talk about you, talk about what you have done, what you have delivered. Do you think anyone has ever told her these words in her life? Do you think when her mom, she started talking, you know what, Mary, one day you're gonna be pregnant with the Holy Spirit, you're gonna have a baby, his name is Jesus. No. But that was God's plan for her. And I can tell you this because if someone hasn't told you this, you are destined for wonderful and great things. We are destined to do wonders in this world. Wonders in this world. That's what God created us for. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Comments, questions, anything you have on your heart, please share.
That was really beautiful. I've read the story a number of times, but I've never seen it put in that light before. And I love names. I just love how to pull out the meaning of names, but I've never looked at these names before, and I've never seen what it means. And when you consider the first name and the last name, you begin with forgiven, you end with terza, which is pleasing. So you are forgiven by God, you are pleasing to God, and if you take one end and the other, in the middle of that, you can move, you can dance, and you can be royalty.
Right.
Like King David was dancing before the Lord, you have freedom to move and to dance and to be who you are. You're treated like royalty because you have been forgiven and you are pleasing in his sight. That's just amazing. I've never seen that before. I'm probably going to steal it in a sermon or two. And not give you any credit, Asan, none whatsoever.
It's not mine.
Well,
I didn't write
you just said it, so
it.
you can say, as I've said before.
Right.
Legit.
As I just stole from my friends in their sermon. No, amazing though.
Those names are really something. As Asam was studying them and we were talking about them today, I just thought it's really very poetic how God's word sort of moves, not only like in the reality of the story, but really in the meaning behind it that's kind of left as a treasure for us.
So the way that God sees his people is through one set of lenses, and the way that we see ourselves is through a completely different set of lenses, oftentimes. And what would happen in my own life? This is just me talking as just a person. What would happen in my life if I was able to take those same lenses that God was looking through and put on those same lenses and to see as these people saw? What would life, how would life change? Significant change.
It's exactly what you just said right now. A lot of times I use the lenses that were given to me, and I believe that this is the best I can have. This is it. This is the best I can have. And I'm not blaming people around me. I'm blaming the enemy who used these people, who used the environment, who used the media, who used everything to shape and form these lenses and force them in my face, saying, this is the best you're going to have. You're not going to see anything other than this. Today, I was honestly almost in tears because of their story. It felt like a win, It felt like this win that I needed to see. It felt like like imagine their story, like these five young women who are in the desert. They lose their dad and they're wandering with the rest of the people. No brothers, meaning that their name is gone, And here they are across asking and receiving. This is a win for all of us if we believe, if we choose to ask God to take these lenses off of our face and give us what Pastor Al was just talking about. His lenses, what he's seeing for us.
I love how you said that they didn't settle for the norm, the customs. They didn't settle for the status quo. They kept pushing it because they felt like something isn't right here.
That's right.
And God's immediate response to Moses, and then here again in this chapter 17. What a beautiful story. It seems like a freedom story, like a emancipation story.
Yep.
Like the president signed the declaration, and everyone
Yep.
was free.
Yep.
And
Right.
you're free to be forgiven and to move and to dance and to be treated like royalty, whether you're a king or a queen, and pleasing before the father. I mean, it's just a beautiful celebration story. So,
Right. Yes.
when you watch a feel-good movie, like based
Yes.
true story, a
Yeah.
feel-good
Yeah.
movie, this kind of feels like that.
That's
Right.
right. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I'm with you. I've read this many times before, and but to just sit and study it and go through it. So when we say that when we do Bible study, this is a blessing for us. Do you see why? Because honestly, we keep seeing things like that. Like today, I felt like this is a win. I needed this win. I needed it personally. I needed to see and witness this win. As you put it perfectly, it's a feel-good movie, but it's a feel-good real story that happened right in front of us, and it just seeing God breaking all these rules, and doing something, and that rule kept on going. That didn't just stick with them. They created freedom, and they brought in that same rule to all the generations right after them. So this was just the beginning of so many to have the same thing. And that's gonna happen tonight. That's gonna happen tonight. When God breaks some chains, when God breaks some traditions, when God breaks some customs and things we're used to, it's not just gonna be our win or our story. This is gonna carry on for more generations and more people to come.
Unless someone has a question or a comment that they'd like to chime in, and if anyone does, please do. But I have a question for you guys. Soraya, do you have anything that you want to add or ask or no? Okay. Why do you think the first name is given first? What is the significance of being forgiven, Mahla? Why is that mentioned first? And you touched on it. You did, but I want you to kind of expound on it just a bit, please.
I think that's this is where all it starts. Knowing and realizing that we are forgiving, knowing and realizing what Jesus has done on the cross. It's no coincidence that that's what we're celebrating this week. You can give me the whole world. You can give me everything. But if I know I'm already gonna perish, or my future is in hell, or where I'm living with this guilt of sin, and I am obeying the laws and rules of sin, nothing matters. Really, nothing in life can mean anything because I'm living still under the law of sin. Like if someone has a judgment of the death penalty in 5 minutes. And right before that, you tell them, congrats, you won the lottery of, $100 trillion. It means absolutely nothing. It starts with forgiveness. I need to receive the forgiveness, not just for what I have done. I need to receive the forgiveness that sets me free of sin. Because no matter what life brings me, whether anything that comes our way, if sin's still present in my life, there is no taste to anything. So I need that forgiveness. I need it needs to start with forgiveness. So that's my take on
Sounds like a study in Romans from here on out. I don't know. That's what it
it.
sounds like.
Yeah.
How about you? You can.
Well, I think you said it all.
She had a, what is it, crown today?
I had a root canal
Oh,
today.
a root canal today.
Another one?
Well, it's finishing up the start. It was pretty bad. It needed several hours of work, so
You're a
sorry
champ
for.
because you're here, so.
Yeah, it's this one was definitely not as bad as the last part of it, so. But harder to talk. My mouth's not moving right.
Had he not said anything, we can never tell.
Well, let's take this incredible win tonight. Let's go before God, boldly approach the throne of grace tonight. Just take a moment after we're done here, or just as we're praying, and ask the Lord, where are there areas where I need freedom? Where are there areas where maybe something hasn't been justly done? Where are there spaces in my life where I really need all these things, God's forgiveness, God's movement, to know that I'm counted among royalty, to be able to dance and to really express who we are before the Lord and express our faith to Him. So let's pray and
Unless anyone has any comments or
yes,
questions.
anything else?
Okay. Well, we have a few minutes. Why don't a couple of us pray? And if you need prayer, if you need us to turn off the recording, we can, and we can just pray together. This is a safe place for all of us. As I said, or as Pastor Al said, we it's a win. It's a win for all of us today. So if you feel like there's something still, you feel like you're defeated in an area or two, this is a safe place to bring it before God. They were approaching the high priest, Moses, and the elders. They had the whole community of God present asking for something. And you know what? We can do the same thing with each other right now. I know we're looking at screens, but God is looking at our hearts,
That's right.
So let's take the next few minutes. And if you want to pray, pray. If you want to listen, listen. But we'll take a few minutes to just, humble ourselves before God and ask boldly from Him.
Then
Absolutely.
I'll turn off the
Please.
recording
Yeah.
now.
That'd be great. And then we'll take a few minutes and we'll wait, and Asam will close us off in prayer.